It is Black Friday, and retailers are trying to keep up with our fast-changing shopping habits. From APM in New York, I'm Noelle King, and for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. This holiday season, U.S. consumers are on track to spend more than ever. $630 billion, says a forecast from the National Retail Federation. But more and more holiday shopping is being done online, and that means retailers are facing bigger challenges for their websites and their shipping companies. Marketplace's Mark Garrison has a story.
Companies used to worry about whether their servers would melt down under increased holiday traffic. But now that they can easily contract additional servers, handling holiday demand isn't so stressful. Suresh Kotta is a management professor at the University of Washington, right on Amazon's home turf.
Cloud computing is there, and adding incremental capacity is just a flick of a switch. So that's not a problem at all.
Being ready to make the sale is one thing. Getting it to customers can be trickier. The major shipping services expect to deliver more than 1.5 billion packages this holiday season. Shippers have more data than ever to predict demand and staff up accordingly. But the closer it gets to Christmas, the dicier things get, says Rod Sides, vice chair of Deloitte.
If sales are light at the beginning of the season, we may find that retailers may add some promotional activity at the end of the season, which could create a spike at the end that would put a lot of pressure on existing infrastructure.
And as always, exceptionally bad weather could render all the planning and big data useless. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Also from the National Retail Federation, 6 in 10 Americans now admit to self-gifting or buying themselves a holiday treat. Let's take a look at the numbers. It was a rough day for Asian markets. The Shanghai Composite slid 5.5%. Chinese authorities are expanding a crackdown on the country's securities industry, aimed at figuring out what caused wild market swings earlier this year. Here in the U.S., Wall Street rang the opening bell about 20 minutes ago. The Dow is down about 0.2%. The S&P up 0.4%. The Nasdaq is flat. The gambling industry has a problem. The American Gaming Association says millennials do not like to gamble, at least not as much as their parents. And casinos stand to lose big. Sally Herships has a story.
First of all, you should know millennials do like Vegas.
They like the food there. They like lots of moments that they can broadcast.
Like on Instagram. Mary Lee Bliss is with Ypulse, the youth market research firm. She says the problem is happening at the slot machines, where casinos are used to making a good chunk of their change. There are two issues. First,
that millennials are just naturally pretty risk averse.
There was the recession, and they have all that student debt. Next, she says millennials grew up playing more sophisticated games than the slots. That means the kind of games that will appeal to them.
Think like Angry Birds, but, you know, with money on the other end of it.
That's the kind of game G2 Game Design makes. Greg Jafria is the CEO.
It's a technical term for it would be a bifurcating, morphing algorithm.
In plain English, those are games that combine wagering and skill. And Jafria says casinos and millennials want them.
Hurry up and finish.
In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
U.S. programs for refugees and asylum seekers have come under scrutiny lately. Some lawmakers say the screening process isn't rigorous enough to prevent bad apples from slipping through. President Obama disagrees. Once in, asylum seekers have to set about making lives for themselves. Our Wealth and Poverty Desk spoke to a former surgeon from the Democratic Republic of Congo who was recently granted asylum. It took Didier Vakumbwa 6 years to go through the asylum process. He now lives in Los Angeles with his family. During the day, he works in a health clinic, and at night, he moonlights as a security guard.
This Didier, patient doesn't have insurance, right? My name is Didier Vakumbwa. I'm working here in this clinic. Patient cannot go to another doctor if he doesn't pass by me as a coordinator. So I'm like a bridge. I work as a medical doctor for more than 10 years. I work in the Congo, in many countries in Africa. But sometimes I have to do even surgery because they don't have light, they have electricity. Sometimes they have to use flashlight doing surgery. So I have to clock out. It's 3:30.
It's
So this is my day. My day is like that. Crazy day. So I have to wake up in the morning and then come here in the clinic from 7 to 3:30 and then drive to Van Nuys. And then over there, I have to do my second job, that's a security job. I arrived in this country was in the end of 2008. So I have to forget everything. I have to forget that I was a doctor. I have to forget who I was and apply for housekeeping. I have to clean toilets. So I don't know what is my life in this country. There is a moment that I don't believe it's me. I say, come on. That is really me? But I say, yes. I work here in this building as a security guard. At 7, everything is locked. So I know that nobody can get in. So it's more quiet and more safe. So I just use this time reading books, medical books. In 5 years, I will be in the hospital as an MD. I'm really confident.
That was Didier Vakumbwa speaking with our wealth and poverty producer, Caitlin Esch. Last up, Pope Francis is in Kenya today, where he offered his thoughts on how to keep young people from being drawn in by extremist ideologies. Get them educated and get them jobs, Francis said. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.